Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeating bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So today's Tuesday, November 26, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. So today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We are on page 60, third paragraph. Starts with being convinced through that one paragraph ending with, just what do we do? And comments will be on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Herbert F., Ilana P. will be reading the text, Lynn S. will be reading page 164, and Vanita L. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour host is Ann A. So the reference number for yesterday, Monday, November 25th, 2024, you're ready, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21940, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21941. OA Preamble. A Readers Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen W. All right, so now we'll have Herbert F. reading our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, good morning, Herbert.
Good morning, thank you. I'm Herbert S., and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige should divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Herbert, Beth. All right. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, guys, so today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works, page 60, third paragraph there. It says, being convinced, we read through that one paragraph ending with, just what do we do? And comments on just that one paragraph. And Ilana P. is going to get us started. Good morning, Ilana.
Good morning, everyone. Ilana P. From Pittsburgh, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic. Being convinced, we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? So being convinced, I'm convinced of the ABCs, that I was a compulsive overeater, could not manage my own life, that no human power could help me, that I tried everything and I didn't succeed, and that God could and would if God were sought. And as I've heard it said, my job is to seek God, right, in everything. I tried everything on my own to stop, and if I could stop, to stay stopped and not start again. And not until I was able to completely surrender to God, to my higher power, and ask for help, was I able to have any kind of success. To turn my will and my life over to God, that means I turn all my thinking, all my desires, all my plans, everything that goes in my mind, and all my actions, everything I do, all my behaviors over to God, as I understand God. And it's going to tell us in the next few pages exactly what we do for this step 3. I know that for me, I needed to sit quietly and be still for long periods of time. I needed to wait to hear what guidance would come to me as far as what I was to do, how I was to think, how I was to behave. If anything happened that disturbed me or put me in a space of wanting to run, which was my MO, my MO also was to act immediately, to just act. I wanted it over with, just like I went to the food immediately. I needed to fix it right away. And I had to learn by practice to sit still and to wait. And it wasn't easy, but each time I was able to wait long enough to hear direction and guidance from my higher power, I was able to act with relief and I got freedom because I knew that what I was doing was what God intended me to do. Really grateful to be here and so thankful that I could do service this month. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ivana P., for getting this started. Okay, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting for Sherry. And although we do value your experience, we ask...
Nancy R. and... Oh, sorry.
Give me a minute, please. We ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. If you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes. So give me your name, initial of your last, and where you're calling from. All right. Go. Got you.
Nancy R.
Nancy
R. New York.
Nancy, I got you. Nancy.
Oh, sorry.
Ginger C. from Colorado.
Ginger.
Amy G.
Amy.
Did you get Melissa?
I got you, Melissa. I got you, Janet, Ginger, and Amy.
Rita.
You got Janet?
I got you, Janet. Here's who I have, Nancy, Melissa, Janet, Ginger, and Amy.
Rita R. from Mount
Pleasant. Rita R. Anybody else? All right. Well, we'll get started with this group. Lisa B., okay. All right. Well, let's get started with that group. Everybody press star one so we can have a nice, quiet meeting. And Nancy R. is excited to share. Nancy, where are you calling from? Nancy R.?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I apologize. Thank you so much, Kelly. I'm Nancy R. I'm calling from New York. I am in New York. Yes, I am excited to share on step three. It's so pivotal. Yes, I'm Nancy R. in New York, excited because also, as I've learned from Harlan originally, today is Bill W.'s birthday, and it's so exciting to me. I'm a new sponsor, but I'll stop saying I'm a new sponsor in that my sponsee today on Bill W.'s birthday will be the day that, after we speak, she can then become a sponsor. And that's very thrilling to me. And also, it's the first day of my speaking with a new sponsor because my sponsor had some time ago lost her abstinence. So it's a big day for me and my sponsee. Yes, turning my... the lead did a remarkable job. I love hearing about my decision-making... turning my will is my decision-making thinking, and my thinking and my life is my action. I hadn't known that. I hadn't known that it wasn't just turning anything over, that I'm just making a decision to do steps 4 through 12. I hadn't realized that until I heard it from a beloved teacher. And, it's astounding to have a power greater than myself that can help me and to make it a personal power greater than myself. Am I convinced? I am convinced, but every day I'm rediscovering this relationship with this power greater than myself. I can't do that because I keep realizing that I'm not alone, and that I'm not running the show, and that God is directing me, and I have to let God direct me. And once I take step two, I know that I can take step three and understand step three better by just deciding to take the action. I am a compulsive overeater. I have the mental twist. I have the allergy of the body. And that is a disease. For over 30 years, I just decided, I made the decision that I wasn't a compulsive overeater. I was using OA for diet support. It was the wrong decision because I just didn't surrender. I didn't surrender. I didn't understand. And every day I wake up as I've heard so many of you say, an addict, and I need to...
That's fine, Nancy.
Thank you for your help and your service. Thank you. God bless you all.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy R. from New York. Next up, we have Melissa C., followed by Janet B. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thanks so much for your service this morning and for this month. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, when I read that, first of all, what am I convinced of? You know, well, I'm convinced that Melissa running the show didn't work. You know, yes, it led me to terrible trouble with the food, right? I would have all this knowledge about what I'm supposed to do. I even had knowledge of the allergy, right? I knew about that. And yet on my own power, with me in charge, I can't respect what I know about me, about having, you know, a serious food problem. And so what does it mean to take a step three? You know, what does that mean? Well, yes, of course it means that I'm gonna go on with the rest of the steps, right? That's it. But it was bigger than that, because if I'm asking, you know, knowledge, you know, what it is I'm turning my will and my life over to the care of God. That means that I'm asking God for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. Whereas what it used to be, I would tell God what my will was for Him and ask Him, you know, to use His power to carry out my will. You know, and step three is the exact opposite. It was, I was going to put everything, turn everything over and say, you know what? I don't know. The way that I'm living my life is not working. You know, it started as basic as getting up early in the morning. You know, I remember thinking, I can't get up this early on a day that I'm not working. You know, I'm not going to run out on a Saturday morning when I was out of my in bed. You know, it was those small, seemingly small things. But I have a sponsor who, you know, lovingly said to me, you know, you need to get up in the morning and make your bed. And no, I know that's not in the big book. It doesn't say anywhere in here you need to get up by a certain time and make your bed. Except I started asking people who had what I wanted, what are they doing? And guess what? All those people, not only did they commit their food, did they, you know, follow a food plan, listen to certain meetings, they got out of bed in the morning. You know, I was told, ask people who have what you want. See if any of them are sleeping until 10:30. And none of them were. And it started like that for me, where today, you know, I trust God is God, Melissa is Melissa. My job is to seek His will for me. I am His agent. I work for Him. And when I live that way, food is quiet. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Next up, Janet B., followed by Ginger C. Well, good morning, Janet. Welcome.
Good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Hey, Kelly. Hey, everyone. So at the beginning of this paragraph, it's like there's a big stop sign, being convinced. Okay, so it's like if I'm not convinced, I can't move on to work on my third step. And what do I have to be convinced of? Just that God could and would restore me to sanity if He were sought. What do I do if I'm not convinced of that? Do I just act as if and move on? Uh-uh. I have to be convinced. So here's a couple things I thought that might be helpful. So we can really break that down. We can start with, okay, do I believe God could restore other people to sanity? Well, yeah, we look around these rooms, and of course. Do I believe God could restore me personally to sanity if He wanted to? He may not want to, but could He if He wanted to? Well, yeah, He's God. Of course He could. And then here's the hard part. Do I believe He will if I seek Him? And so often we say, no, He does for others and not for me. So I really pondered this, and I came up with a list of like five reasons why we think God will for others but not for us. And I'll try and get through them in my remaining time. The first is I've done some really bad things. And to that, I would say, well, so did the founders of this program, and that's why there's a ninth step. We get to fix the bad things we've done. But the second thing is sometimes it's not that I've done bad things. It's just that I feel I am bad. I'm not worthy. I have shame. I'm not worthy of God restoring me to sanity. And to that, I would say, you're in great luck, because this book nowhere requires worthiness as a requirement, only willingness as a requirement. I certainly wasn't worthy. I went out and faked muggings. I was a horrible, nasty person. Thank God he doesn't require me to be worthy. He only requires that I'm willing. The third thing people may say is, I've tried so many times before and it hasn't worked. And to that I would say, you know, I tried to take pictures with my cell phone 100 times by pushing the on-off button. It didn't work. But when someone like one of my kids came up and said, Mom, here's the way to do it. It doesn't matter if I've done it wrong 100 times before. Suddenly I can take pictures. Or someone may say, well, this illness is my fault. And we can debate whether we caused it by our selfishness or we're born with it. But let's just assume it is our fault. Well, if I'm crossing the street and I'm looking at my cell phone and I get hit by a bus, would I ever say to the ambulance driver who comes to take me to the hospital, don't take me to the hospital to fix my broken legs, it's my fault? No. I don't say I'm not going to bother the surgeon, but we say I don't want to bother God. It's okay. We can bother God. And then the fifth reason, and I think the only reason which would keep us from moving ahead, is if someone says, well, I'm not willing to seek him. And to that person, I would say,
I'm Janet.
Okay. So anyway, I think God can restore us all to sanity, and I wish you all a good day. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janet B. from North Carolina. All right, next up we have Ginger C. followed by Amy G. Good morning, Ginger.
Oh, hey, good morning, Kelly. It's so good to hear your voice. This is Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater. And I am in Colorado, and I am so grateful to share with all of you this morning that I am 7 days, 1 week, completely, clearly abstinent. Thank you, God. So I just love, you know, just a little part of what we've read this morning, being convinced that we were alcoholic. I think my chronic relapsing, my years of going back to that first bite, is that I never fully conceded head to heart that I was a real compulsive overeater. And I thought I did. I really thought I did, you guys. And I thought, yep, I know it's going to burn me, and I know how painful it is, and I know I can't go back. And yet I go back, and I go back, and I go back. And I'm just so grateful for every beautiful bite. Anyone that's on the line now, because I know you're there, and you're eating, and you're hurting, just don't give up. There is absolute hope. Hold on, this pain ends. And it takes what it takes, though, because I think if you are not where I was, again, with that first step totally in place, you're going to return eventually at some time, at some point, in some place. And for me, I am just such a food freak. I want to have my cake in OA and eat it, too. That has been my story, and I will figure out how to do it. A friend showed me they can eat crackers that are almond-based with cheese. I thought, oh, my God, this is nirvana. This is amazing, because I was eating crystal clean and crystal clear. I was not eating crackers out of a box, and that led me to a Cheeto, because that's really what I want. And so, again, willing to go to any lengths for victory and really saying goodbye to the food. I mean, it is clean and clear. It is not about sauces. It is not about spices. It is not anything but the food that's nourishing me that is needed for my body. And I am so grateful. I just can't believe what recently happened to help me to have these 7 days. You know, I can't believe it's Bill's birthday, because I truly was struck abstinent like Bill, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. And if anybody wants to hear my amazing God story that just recently happened, please reach out and give me a call. I'd be happy to share it with you. But just so grateful to be waking up in this new experience. Don't quit before the miracle. It's coming. It is God's timing. It is about absolute surrender, but it's also about absolutely getting step one head to heart. I cannot F around with the food. because if I think that I can, I will be back eating that chocolate cake, wondering why. Well, you got a little slippery and you're letting things in, and you got to be honest. Are you entirely abstinent today? And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ginger C. from Colorado. All right, next up, Amy G., followed by Rita R. Hey, good morning, Amy.
Hey, Kelly, good morning. Good morning, good morning. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everyone, for such powerful shares. Just soaking it up. So sometimes I feel like Bill is a freaking mind reader, because read this paragraph. I'm like, you have read my mind, because for me, when I finally surrendered to this program after years in OA, struggling with this whole thing about my agnosticism and the concept of a higher power, I finally got past step two, you know, because they said I could believe in whatever I wanted to, even the power in whom those the problem had been solved. And then we get to step three, and I'm like, you want me to turn my will and my life over to he, she, it, whatever? I don't even know what, you know? And Bill comes back with this paragraph and says, being convinced. For me, being convinced that I just checked off the boxes of A, B, and C, and I was completely certain. That's another way of saying convinced, completely certain that I was not going to be able to fix myself. And God bless sponsors. I don't know, this program, I mean, just God bless you sponsors. You know, she said, look, chill, Amy. This is just a decision to take more willingness and more action, right? What we're going to do is this step is a decision to basically just keep on working the steps. We're going to search for God via the steps. That's what I did. This is a search for God through action and willingness. A search for power, if you will, a search for what I couldn't do for myself. I mean, it was really broken down for me that simply. And some of y'all may remember that Indiana Jones movie. I don't know which number, which one, but at some point, Indiana had to step out into thin air for the bridge to cross the ravine to be revealed. And for me, that's what step three felt like to me. I was stepping out into thin air, but trusting in whom the problem had been solved, the peace and serenity I saw in your eyes, your faith, you showed God to me and said, here's the hand, here's the invisible bridge, take a step. And you know what'll happen through these steps? Find your higher power, you'll find yourself, and you'll find relationship with others, a relationship with all three. Can you imagine that? I could not imagine a world like that. But basically, she just said, don't think, right? Don't think. In Overeaters Anonymous, we don't think our way into a new way of acting and believing. We act our way. Don't think, just do, follow the instructions. If I can do it, you can do it. And that was revealed to me through the process. That's all step three was for me, was a decision to keep on going, a decision to work these steps like my hair was on fire. And then I found my higher are we with this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, perfect timing, Amy G. from Maryland. Thank you so much. Next up, we have Rita R. followed by Lisa B. Hey, good morning, Rita. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Rita, we can't hear you very well. Is there something you can do to adjust your phone?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, perfect. Where are
you calling
from?
Okay, great. Sorry about that. Massachusetts.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, So turning my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood him. I have to recite that every morning, 1, 2, and 3, because I have a built-in forgetter. My will is really broken, and turning my will and my life over, my choice and my action to a higher power, I'm doing it right now. You know, I went to a meeting this past weekend, and it was on humility. And I was just like just boom, this is your biggest problem, the pride, you know. I'm a really fearful person, and I believe my higher power is asking me to step up, step out, and I've got to stand up to the lies that the disease, just runs through my mind throughout the day. And, it just reminds me just like that my will is broken, that I do things that I don't want to do and don't do the things that I want to do, which is to walk with God, serve God, and, be the best Rita that I can be. It just reminds me too, just I am undisciplined, that this program has given me the best discipline. And it's all about self-care, you know. And just want to share a quote from Abe Lincoln, that discipline is not doing what we want to do at the moment, but what we most want to do, or what we most want. And what I most want is to walk with God. And thank you all for your service today, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rita R. from Massachusetts. And before Lisa shares, let me remind everybody where we are at and what we're sharing on. We are in Outwork, page 60, third paragraph, saying, being convinced through that one paragraph ending with just what we do, and we are just what do we do? And we're sharing on that one paragraph. So after Lisa, we'll get more names. Hey, Lisa, where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Lisa B. from Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. For me, a perfect example of that for me. I have to, because I too have the built-in forgetter, and I have to resurrender to God every morning and remind myself of that, hey, you're not running the show, because I'm so used to running the show that it's, I start doing it without even realizing that's what I'm doing. And yesterday I was on the phone and talking to people, calling different companies that I owe money to and trying to pay my bills and things like that. And found myself being rude and irritable to the receptionist, whoever I was talking to. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And it came to me, it's because you're fearful and anxious about your finances. And I heard God say, don't worry, I've got you. You don't need to be fearful. And such a loving and peaceful feeling came over me. It was just amazing to me. But I have to continue to remind myself daily that I don't need to run the show. And he shows me and reassures me on a somebody is unmuted on a regular basis, which is wonderful. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. Sorry for the disturbance. Yeah, guys, please make sure you stay muted so we can have a nice, quiet meeting. All right, so we are going to open, or I'm going to open up the meeting for more shares. Again, if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please let others have the opportunity to share. So who would like to share on the paragraph?
Lynn
Erin K. in Michigan. Erin K. in Michigan.
Erin P.
Justin C. North Carolina.
Justin C. I missed somebody with Justin.
Ashley F.
Ashley F. I heard Lynn, Erin, Pete, Justin, and Ashley.
Vanita L.
Vanita.
Beth C.
Who was that?
Beth
Beth B. All right. Well, let's stop there, guys. Okay. So everybody, please make sure you're muted by pressing star one so we can have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Lynn S., followed by Aaron K. Hey, good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Kelly EYS. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, this is speaking to me so strongly today, being convinced we were at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? And I'm sitting here really thinking about this morning. It's been a tough morning for me. And what's really coming to mind is, I know I can't manage my own life. I know when it feels like I need to do something, I can't manage it. I know that. What do I need to do? I need to go to God. I need to seek God. There's no human power that can help me relieve my compulsive overeating. There's no human power that can help relieve my fear. There's no human power really that can do much with me, I must truly admit. But God could and would if he were sought. For me, God is always the answer. It's always the answer. And I know from past experience before when I've been able to sit and not ask God for the answer, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? But get quiet and just be with God. The fear, the upset falls away, and I get peace. And there's one saying that just keeps going through my mind. I'm just going to leave it with this. Either God is everything or I am nothing. I am nothing if God is not running my life, if I am not turning my life and my will over to the care and protection of God. It's not going to happen for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn S. from Toronto, Canada. All right, next up, Aaron K., followed by TV. Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Kelly. This is Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. When I'm in charge of my life, I'm listening to my own head when it tells me what I need to be deep down fundamentally okay. You know, and it tells me I need career success, money, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people, it tells them they need a relationship, or it tells them that relationship needs to look a certain way. It tells them they need to, you know, a baby, and that baby better grow up and be the president, right? In all of that efforting toward what I think I need to be okay, my primary purpose is me. And I have come to realize that step three means my primary purpose is no longer me, and that other care is actually the best self-care. And the self-care that I do, when I do, you know, funnily enough, wake up early every single morning and hit the spiritual gym, that's my self-care that gives me the ability to do that other care in my life. And it's this loop that feeds back on itself. And I really think that we take step three in, you know, really it's involved in every decision we make, big and small. You know, when I'm on Zoom and I'm camera on instead of multitasking and doing the thing I think I need to do in addition to being on the meeting, like that is a mini step three. I'm saying, God, I trust you. I will find time to do that other thing. I need to bring my full presence and attention to this meeting and listen to what everyone's saying. Show my face. You know, when I make time to answer an outreach call, when I make time for sponsees that I, you know, my brain always tells me I have better use for that time. But I took because I was convinced of those three things. And gosh, Lynn S., you just knocked my socks off with that. You know, God is everything or I am nothing. That is, yeah, I'm going to take that one into my day to day. Thanks, everybody. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Aaron K. from Michigan. Next up, we have Pete B., followed by Justin C. Hey, Pete, where are you calling from?
Hey, Kelly, I'm calling from Pennsylvania. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Thanks so much for taking the meeting, Kelly. I appreciate your service. You know, it's nice that we have a question here, right? It's they put a question in, but just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? Now, we can take that question and we can bring it to somebody else and ask them, you know, what they think it means, right? And they can hand, you know, they've been rushed through the steps like their hair was on fire, and they've been told what to think and told what it says. And you can take that information and you can do what those people say to do. Or that the answer to that question, it might be in the book. Right. And it might just be in the book. Right. Because what did Bill do? I mean, Bill, you know, authored the book, you know, had feedback from other people. What did Bill do? Right. On page 13, it tells us what he did. It says, "There I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself, I was nothing, that without him, I was lost." Right? The word offered means give. Right? So here's Bill saying what he did, what that means, just exactly what that means and what we do. We give ourselves to the God of our understanding. On page 158, AA number 3, the lawyer, it says, on the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. Right? So it answers the question. That's what we do. We are giving ourselves, turning our life, our actions, our will, our thoughts over to the care of God as we understand God. That means that going forward, what God puts in our life, what shows up in our life is what God puts in our life. You know, we talk all the time about surrender, surrender, surrender. If I'm surrendered, why am I fighting? Why am I resisting? Why is it necessary to make 30 outreach calls a day and 15 10-step calls? Why? I'm surrendered. I've turned my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand God. So now it's my opportunity to align my will with his. And in doing so, I open up the keys to the kingdom. I know that everything is going to be fine as long as I trust and rely. And most importantly, I know that I have this condition. And while the big book doesn't define alcoholic, the dictionary does. And it tells us that it's somebody that has alcoholism. And what I know for a fact is that I can't get the phenomena of craving if I don't ingest the substance or engage in the behavior that causes it. And that's being restored to sanity. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. All right, next up, Justin C., followed by Ashley S. Hey, good morning, Justin.
Hey, everybody. This is Justin C., a recovered compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, recovered just for today, not cured. You know, it's only by the grace of a power greater than myself that I choose to call God that I can say that I'm even here on this call this morning. And I appreciate all of you being here. And, I can relate to so much what has been shared already this morning. And, you know, what strikes me specifically in this reading and what it is reminding me of is the practical application, and this being a practical program, I'm so incredibly grateful for that. You know, I had a lot of hangups about, you know, God and religion, as many of us do when we get here. And my sponsor and people in this program helped me kind of set that aside and move forward through action, you know, and you know, what I appreciate so much here, as it's already been shared, was this new concept, right? These new ideas, one of which being that my will and my life are my thoughts and my actions. And so in a practical way, exactly as they're saying here, just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? I've got to find a new way. You know, if I've lost my mind, right? If I'm insane, I cannot differentiate the true from the false, then how am I going to think my own way out of that problem? I can't, you know, God has to enter. But I have to seek that, right? I have to seek that relationship through action, you know, through, as it has been shared, right? Those actions become discipline, right? God has to discipline me. I don't have that naturally in my life. I have to be willing to humble myself and get up in the morning and thank God of my limited understanding for waking up abstinent and, you know, to help me see how I can align with his will and not my own and get out of my own way, all of those things. But, you know, in that next paragraph, it talks about self-propulsion, right? I've spent my entire life waking up, feeling a certain way, thinking my way through that, trying to, you know, plan my day and design my life according to my thinking. And those, you know, that didn't work. And it led to a very dark place, you know, shut off from the world and from my life and just living in the shadows. You know, I want to be in the sunlight of the Spirit today. So that's why I'm here. And I'm just so grateful for all of you and for this program. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Justin C. from North Carolina. All right, next up we have Ashley S. followed by Benita L. Hey, good morning, Ashley. Where are you calling from?
Good morning, Kelly. Ashley F., recovered, not cured, in Kentucky, and thankful for the meeting. I wanted to share about this paragraph and what it means to me as I see it and encounter it today in the context of, you know, the time I've had in the program with this step. And what came to me is there was a woman who shared with me early on. She pointed out that it says, we turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him, meaning as the recovered folks, the first 100 for, you know, how they understood God. And you know, they're going to tell us between now and the end of page 63 what they're talking about. Like, what does a third step actually look like? And I was convinced that I was in hell and there was absolutely zero way out. I had tried everything I knew to try. Everything you knew to try, everything anybody that I could get my hands on the information from thought I should try. And the book says, look, here's some information about how the first 100, how we understand God. Because how I understood God was far from accurate and very, very far from what it tells me about God, which is that at a minimum, it is not me. And everything I thought I knew about God was woven into self. It was almost impossible and still remains hard for me to extract. But the first 100 knew, and this book tells me, God cares, God is able, he doesn't need me, or he, she, whatever, the great whatever, does not need me to think. The great whatever needs me to act on these instructions, and that if I want what we, the recovered persons that have gone before me, have, then I need to stop thinking and do what is suggested, and that I will in the end, and immediately, like literally immediately, when I pick up the pages of 60 to 63, provided what I need, and then I'm capable of being a part of this life in a way that I did not know was possible, still amazes me. And I am very grateful. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ashley S. from Kentucky. All right, next up, Benita L., followed by Beth C. Hey, good morning, Benita. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Benita L., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater by the grace of God in Georgia. You know, this is such, I'm so happy about this meeting because I love talking about people and their spiritual journeys and their surrendering to God. And I know that that topic is just so healing for the planet, you know, for us to lay down our egos to the best of our ability, you know, and surrender, you know, to the great source of all the beauty and goodness and order in the world. And, you know, the 12 steps is really revolutionary in the way that it brought people of all different paths and religions and whatever races together, you know, to surrender to God. And I want to say I went to an interfaith celebration for Thanksgiving last week in a synagogue with just Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, all sorts of Christians, Baptists, Native Americans. And I really think, you know, the 12 steps in a lot of ways prepared the way for that. And it was so beautiful. So it's lovely to hear people sharing about letting go of all that stuff and just surrendering to God and uniting one. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Benita L. from Georgia. All right, our last share today will be Beth C. Hey, Beth, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Beth C. from Illinois. First time ever talking on the meeting, so it's a little scary, but I really appreciate the topic, and it helped me out a lot today. I was thinking about problem this morning with my heat, and it was in the thermostat, and I thought about it, and I had to let it go, and I, you know, called on God, and it's like my higher power, and I said, you know, please show me what I need to do. Well, it came to me that I put the batteries in wrong, and so I fixed it, and it worked, and, you know, I've surrendered my food, and I am abstinent, and you know, there's more surrender for me to do, and I was praying as I was driving to work, and you know, I'm always in the driver's seat, and I need to be in the passenger seat, and God needs to be driving on all things, not just food, not just the batteries, everything. And that's what I've concluded today, and I'm grateful to be able to hear the meeting and to be able to talk in the meeting, and grateful for everyone on the line. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Beth C. from Illinois. Always good to hear new voices. Well, we have a minute. Anybody has a burning desire to share for a minute? Anybody want to share?
Vanessa G.
All right, Vanessa, you got it.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. First off, happy birthday, Bill W. Second off, in the next few pages, it's going to tell me exactly what to do. And I think that at this point, I am ready, you know, basically to save my life after reading the first part of this book and understanding that this is a life and death matter, or a life or death matter. And going through the next few pages and getting down on my knees has saved my life many times. And I appreciate this meeting so much because it brought me, you know, when I was brought to the end of myself, I was introduced to vision and once again surrendered. Thank you so much for that. And I'll pass.
Well, perfect timing, Vanessa. Thanks for taking us out. That was Vanessa G. from New Mexico. All right, guys. Well, thank you to everyone who shared. What a powerful meeting. And thank you, Team Tuesday, for the month of November. It's been fun. Love it. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following our closing. So the share ID today, if you want to listen again or share it with somebody, this was a great meeting. Well, they always are. November 26, 2024, 21943. 21943. All right, so we will now close the reading with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Hey, Lynn S., will you please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kelly. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until